Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
'24 is upon us, which means a packed schedule of FA Cup, AFCON, and of course Premier League action. Beat the January Blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down at your local Green King Sports Pub. Don't settle for a dodgy stream. If it's on the telly, it's on at your local Green King across their huge HD screens. If you download the Green King Sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on. Their venues offer a range of low and no alcohol options, so dry January doesn't mean you have to settle for a worse sports watching experience. Green King. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of The Spurs Show. I'm Mike Lee. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you are around the world. Joining me tonight, two stalwarts, two regulars of the Spurs Show. Firstly, returning the comedian, the author, Carl Jones. How are you, Carl?
I'm very well, Mike. Thank you. Yes, how are you?
Good. You told me off there, you've been in New Zealand.
Yeah, over Christmas and New Year. So there was quite a few getting up at 3 a.m. to watch Spurs. It's a disease, including New Year's Day, of course. The New Year's Eve fixture was in the early hours of New Year's Day. So I had a nap on the sofa and a cup of tea and watched Spurs then. So
did you try and find one of the New Zealand official Spurs groups and watch a game with them?
I actually did, and
because you wrote a whole book about all this, so
and Kiwi Spurs are in the book as well, but they don't actually, even in Auckland, they don't actually have any groups that kind of meet up, probably because it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So, but you know, there's a really good active group that I was part of. So it was from the sofa.
Wow. And just to remind people who might not have heard you before, just quickly plug your book, because it's a great book all about all these supporters clubs around the world.
Yeah, so a few years ago, I wrote a book called Being That Number, all about the Spurs supporters clubs around the world. It kind of tells the story of a season. The idea was it was going to be the first season back at White Hart Lane. In the end, it told the story of the season where we just about made it to White Hart Lane. So, yeah, it wasn't the season that we ended up back at White Hart Lane. Quite belatedly, we got to the Champions League final. So, yeah, Being That Number, it's still out there somewhere. And
it's a great book. It's a great read. It's a great read, you know. And also joining us tonight, the musician, producer, music impresario, Mr. Simon Raymond. How are you, Simon?
That's a first, Mike. That's a first.
Come on.
I think my dad would have qualified as a music impresario, but I'll take it.
You should absolutely take it. You've overseen many, many bands, many, many careers now. Come on, give yourself some credit here, you know. Okay. And how's it all going, Bella Union?
Yes, good, mate. Thank you. In our 27th year, if you can believe that. I certainly can't. Wow. So, yeah, it's been you know, the industry's obviously peculiar, as are a lot of industries, and the music business is no different. A lot of clubs going out of business. Mm. Obviously, you know, still the issues with streaming and how poor the artists get paid. But all of that aside, you know, we have a lovely little record shop here in Brighton. We have our label offices down here in Brighton. And, yeah, you know, all is good, I suppose.
A lot of musicians I talk to, when you sort of go do an album, they just go, it's no money, I can't afford to do it, there's just no point. Is that
Well, yeah,
that
you can't
true?
Make a career out of that. Yeah, I mean, you know, like it was in my day, you know, back in the day of the Cocteau Twins, things were so different because there was no streaming, there was no internet, there was no mobile phones when I was making music. So it was, you know, what did you do? You went to a record shop, you bought a record, you went to a gig. That was it. It's all you did. You bought the Enemy, you listened to John Peel. Now there's just so much out there for people. Vinyl is so expensive.
It is.
It's like, you know, 30 to 40 quid, depending on what you're buying. So it makes it very hard for people.
I know. Long days, long time away from the loppy lugs in Edison High Street, or Finchley, getting a 99p vinyl, whatever it was, show my age.
Yeah, exactly.
But live is still a big thing, isn't it? Live is what the kids are all about now, surely.
Well, yes. I mean, obviously, it's still important to all of us, but there, unfortunately, a lot of the clubs have been shutting down the last couple of years. So there's a big movement to try and keep grassroots venues alive. Mm. You know, but it's for sure it's a struggle. Everything since COVID has been a struggle, right? You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, anyway, unfortunately, we've got to talk Tottenham Hotspur. Again, we are out of the FA Cup. On tonight's show, we will be looking back, obviously, at the narrow, annoying defeat to Manchester, especially when you look at the draw for the fifth round. You go, oh, for sake, we really had it. Again, I thought we had a really good chance. So we look at that. And then this week, after this winter break, we're banged straight in it. Two games this week. Bizarre. I don't know why. All of a sudden, we're having all these games crammed in. Brentford this Wednesday, and then Saturday lunchtime, away to Everton. Two really, really key games, I think, of the season to see, can we kick on or fade away? And we're going to certainly talk about that. Before we start, just very quickly, you can follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And please subscribe to us, the show, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and leave us, if you listen to us on Apple, leave us a nice review. Leave us a nice review on Spotify. It really does help new people listen to our tawdry show. So really, really appreciate if you can all do that. Right, Carl, let's start with Friday night's game. A great atmosphere at the Lane. Our strongest side that we can put out up against, I thought, a very strong Manchester City side. And yes, I mean, quite a lot of fans on social media, surprise, surprise, were really sort of slacking us off. I thought we defended really well. I thought, yes, we looked lightweight up front, but we had no Sun. We didn't have that cutting edge. But I thought we were going to nick a draw. And unfortunately, a keeper who's been one of the outstanding players this season made a sort of old school error, not doing the old Peter Schmeichel and pushing someone out of the way, a weak punch, and that was it. Game over, out the cup.
Yeah, well, I feel I've got to set the context of how I watched this match, Mike. I was gigging in deepest, darkest Shropshire on Friday night, ironically with a Chelsea fan and a Man City fan. Right. And we had no signal and we all kind of agreed, shall we avoid the score? Because I couldn't even get the team up on. So I got home about 12:15 on Friday night. So when everyone was just getting home from the match or lamenting what had happened, I was still in the cup. I'd got pizza in the fridge. Wow. I was absolutely marvellous. So it was almost like a completely just no social media, no messages. I went into it having no idea and sat and watched the game.
It's like 1973 all over again. Extraordinary. I mean, I've been in situations where very rarely, especially now, when Simon's talking about social media and whatever, it's very, very rare not to know a score. But I find myself, I can't do it. If I can't watch a game live, I can't rewatch it sort of live, but it's not live. I find it too difficult. And the annoying thing is, now when I don't get to certain games, I've got so many apps and so many things that if I'm watching like on a feed that's always behind, even though I don't have my phone on me, also I get this and I just go, oh, that's going to be an alert. Is that a goal to us, them? And it kind of, and again, I find it so difficult not to look. And in a way, it's quite nice when you go, oh, we're about to score, as opposed to bollocks, we conceded. But it's very difficult to do what you did.
Well, the phone was off. Thankfully, there was absolutely no signal. So as I sort of sat down and watched it, I mean, you know, I think we... it was a little bit like the league game in that we were going hell for leather against them. I mean, I think, you know, maybe starting off with those positives, that actually they are probably the best team in the world.
They are fantastic. Whatever you think about them and the money, they're wonderful.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, the thing that I was struck by, the pace of the game, obviously there was the narrow offside in the opening 5 minutes that, I mean, you know, that we were fortunate enough to get away with that. But I do think that while they were creating the better chances, we were matching them in an awful lot of departments for big periods of the game. And you know, I know we'll probably come to it in terms of the Vicario instance. I mean, you could see that they were crowding him out every single set piece that they had. They were on him. And that, I think, for me, was the frustrating thing, because, you know, the debate of was it a goal, wasn't it a goal? I think the ultimate test of that is if we'd have scored that goal and it had been allowed or disallowed, how would you have felt? And for me, I think each time I look at it, I kind of think if it had been disallowed, you would be disappointed. If it was disallowed for you, I think if it was disallowed, you'd kind of go, well, I can see why it's been disallowed. It's one of those that seemed to be right on the cusp. And by the time the referee allows it to go, I don't think VAR is really going to come and save you then. So I think it was frustrating, because he's been absolutely fantastic. And I think sometimes we've got quite a young team, especially quite a young defence, and you probably want a player like a Romero or a Van de Ven to be protecting the goalkeeper in those situations and spotting that that's happening, because Man City seem to be targeting that. And actually,
absolutely. We didn't put a defender in front of that player, which is normally how you defend that situation. So our defender gets there before anyone else. And it's it was a kind of error that you kind of see, you know, Sunday football. Good, like me as a Sunday league keeper, I've flapped and not punched very particularly well. And it happens a lot. I mean, even after that, the fact that Ake got there first and hooked it in, it could have easily been booted away and that's it. And then we went a great replay, which again, I would have sort of fancied ourselves really. But Simon, I mean, that aside, the one thing that people are levelling is that we didn't look great going forward. Johnston had one half chance that was smothered. We didn't really create that much. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, the way I look at it is, I thought it was inevitable. The whole thing was inevitable to me. You know, obviously City haven't won against Spurs in London for, well, God knows how long. It felt like, well, here's a very good opportunity for them to do so. Our midfield was not at its best. Mm. I mean, Bentancur's still coming back from injury. Let's not forget, he was out for months and months and months. Madison was not fit when he came on, not in a million years. And I think that altered the midfield drastically when Skip came on, when Bentancur went off. It was all disjointed and out of shape. And I think we lost the game in midfield. But when you look at who their midfield is, I don't think any of us should be surprised. Rodrigo is just like one of the best players in the world in his position. He's like two people. He plays both, you know, as a blocker in front of their defence, and also he's often arriving in the penalty box to get on the end of things. He's a phenomenal player, and what they're amazing at doing, which we aren't yet, but maybe we will be in a couple of years' time, is not getting tackled on the ball just outside of our penalty area and passing a ball into midfield or into the strikers, into their feet so perfectly that all they have to do is just touch it. First, if you're honest, you have a good first touch, you're in. But Richarlison, whilst he did have a good first touch in the first half, he played pretty well, ran his socks off.
Yeah.
I just think generally the level of passing from the wings, Brennan is a young... He's like a you know, a pony. You know, he's full of energy, he's speedy, he's got gas to burn. But I just think his technique is a little not quite there yet. And I think everyone's getting on his back a little bit, and he's getting worried about it. Their players are beyond all that stuff. They're not worried about anything. They're so confident in what they do because they're expert at it. I thought their movement was astonishing. Me and my friends were like,
yeah. I have to agree with you. I mean, saying that, I thought defensively we're brilliant. That was the best. I mean, it's incredible to say. Best game that Van de Ven's played. And he's only just come back. He was brilliant. His game
is phenomenal.
His speed. Romero was much more assured, not flying in. they all played extremely well. And yes, you know, Holby had two errors, you know, within a minute where they could have scored a couple of goals. It could have been, as Carl said, the disallowed goal very early on. But I really like the fact we held on in there and, you know, could have nicked a draw. And, you know, I don't think you can blame the players that much. Yes, you could say there was certainly moments when you saw Werner making runs and he wasn't picked up. But maybe he's a new player and the other players don't quite know how he plays.
They don't know his play yet.
And
they
don't know. So I think, you look at social media, I think a lot of Spurs fans, very unfair with some of the criticism. I agree. If you mentioned they're very unfair the way they talk about Brennan Johnson, a Guggen player. I'm old enough to remember the first season of Chris Waddle. And you watched Waddle that first season going, what have they bought here? What's he giving us? He's slow. He's not doing anything.
Well, same with Gareth Bale, right?
Yeah.
Gareth Bale.
Why players who aren't in the game the whole time take time to gel in any team? Simple as that. Yeah. So much to do with confidence and stuff. So I agree with you, Simon. I wasn't too upset by the manner of the defeat. I mean, you know, it's a shame after all that to go out to an error that was, you know, obviously the keeper should have done better. Carl sort of said, would have given it. I mean, if you're the goalkeeper and you're thinking, I can't get to that ball because someone's blocking me and standing there and obstructing me. I mean, if that was two outfield players on the halfway line and you're trying to get past someone stands there, that's obstruction, surely. But with a goalkeeper, it's not kind of given. I know for years, commentators go, goalkeepers are so well protected, all this nonsense. Well, there's an instance where they clearly weren't. And I thought it could have gone either way. I think if the ref disallowed it and went to VAR, he wouldn't have been overruled, the other side of things as well. It was a cruel way to go out on 88 minutes. As soon as that goal went in, you knew that was it. Game over. And as I said at the top of the show, when you look at the other teams left in the competition, I think if we got through, we would have got Luton away, would it be? Was it Luton? I think we would have got, you sort of go, that's the quarterfinal place potentially. And
we had two Premier teams. We got drawn against two Premier teams. That's not good luck.
Yeah. No.
You know, Fulham and City, you know, we could have had a better draw, but listen, it's the way it goes. And I think if we'd have got through to 90 minutes, who's to say we go up to City and get absolutely thumped up there? So maybe what happens is just what happens, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And look, as I said, it was nice to see Carl. It was nice to see James Maddison coming back after so long.
Yeah.
You know, these players are obviously going to be absolutely key for the rest of the season. And hey, there it goes, another season out the cup. Well, let's go to a very short break. When we come back, we're going to look at these two really, really big games coming up against Brentford and Everton. Back in 1 minute.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And we're back from the break. Don't forget, coming up this season, get a Spurs show season ticket that gets you into all our monthly live events. Go to season.spursshow.net. and sign up, and you and a couple of pals can come to all our monthly events. Next month, February the 28th, the return of Peter Spud Taylor. Peter Taylor on the wing. One of my favourite players as a kid.
Me too.
Fascinating career, lovely guy. That's February the 28th. And on March the 20th, at the Leicester Square Theatre, we have Mr. Paul Gascoigne. And that's going to be quite a night with Gazza. As I said, go to season.spurshow.net and sign up. If you want tickets for the individual events, they're both on the link to this description. The Leicester Square, the Gazza night, I think we've done about three quarters of the tickets. So if you're thinking of going, I mean, it's the end of the month, it's probably payday. Now's a good time to grab your tickets. And that's going to be quite a night with Gazza. So hopefully as many of you as possible can come along. Next Monday, we're back here with David Harris, Simon Lipson, and Richard Blanchflower. Carl, so, well, before we actually talk about Brentford and Everton, let's talk about the transfer window, because that shuts in a few days. The reports today is that the young Bruges player that we linked with the last few weeks, Antonio Nusa, it appears that he is, well, certainly his people have decided possibly to go to Brentford, where they think he's got more chance of starting games. And the deal that looked like we were going to do isn't happening. Carl, I mean, if that is true, and you never know, one could argue that we don't have a great record of blooding young wide players. You know, Jack Clark, an obvious one. George Nkudu was another one that came in, never got a look in. Brian Hill, another one that doesn't get a look in. Do you think we're, I mean, I didn't know anything about Nusa before he was kind of announced that we were interested. Do you think this was one of those things, or do you think Tottenham should be doing more to try and get him?
Well, I mean, from everything I've read, it sounds like we have tried our best to get him. And obviously, being pipped to the post by Brentford for a player is never a great look for a club like Spurs. At the same time, I think it's relatively clear that they're talking about how he feels he'll get more opportunities there. You know, we do seem to maybe have this system of maybe bringing players in, loaning them back out, loaning them around different players. I mean, we may be beginning to get a little bit of a reputation for that if you're looking after an up-and-coming 18-year-old, that if you're going to sign him and send him on loan to the Championship, then maybe that's not the right career path. I mean, I can't claim to know an awful lot about this player other than several other big clubs had looked at him as well. Brentford have got a good record at plucking players out of obscurity. I mean, I think we've done okay. You know, the defensive players, the Udogi and Van de Ven's and players like that that have come through recently. But yeah, we don't have many great options that we've brought through as attacking players. I can't necessarily see us kind of making any more big moves if this one's falling through. Does that mean that the club are gonna look at someone else? How does Ange feel about missing out on a player like that? I think, you know, the other night was evident that despite bringing Werner in, who I think that's a really kind of good low risk option for us. I think, you know, he has been an established goal scorer, perhaps not in the past couple of seasons, but he's still only 27. I still think it's a really good low risk signing, but I do think we still look really, really light up top. So whether there's the chance of a striker coming in, it's gone very quiet on any rumours to do with Ivan Toney. So that'll be interesting to have a closer look at him on Wednesday night. I would absolutely I would absolutely love to see us go all in for a player like him, proven Premier League goal scorer at his peak. Great. I mean, even watching him for Brentford in the couple of games back, I think he's had he was almost playing that kind of Harry Kane, dropping deep and plucking passes out of deep midfield at one point for Brentford when I was watching him. So I think, you know, it's rare to be in this position. You know, normally I think I've even been on this show before in late January where we're going, are we going to sign anyone? Who's coming in? What are we going to do? We kind of got our business done relatively early, but I think everyone connected to the club would absolutely love to see a decent striker come in before the window closes.
Yeah, Simon, I mean, the other position that has been talked about is centre midfield. There was talk about Tottenham desperately trying to get Conor Gallagher from Chelsea, who's currently their captain, and the other thing with Chelsea want to do business with us. There's reports today in Germany that we're looking at Kimmich of Bayern Munich, obviously the very, very experienced 80-odd games for Germany. I'm tempering that by also seeing tonight that Højbjerg's agent has come out saying Pierre-Emile was definitely staying. He was never going. He's staying for the rest of the season, which says to me, again, if that's true, that probably Tottenham won't do any more business, because well, I was always believed that Højbjerg would be allowed to go if another player came in. So it's not looking like someone's coming. Valise, our young striker, is now back in training earlier than expected. So he's another one who comes back. Ben Davis, another player that's thought to be out for a while, he's now back. So we are getting players, players that were injured slowly coming back. So that says to me that we probably won't do some more business. What's your feeling, Simon?
I can't see it, really. It seems a bit late now with this Musa going a bit cold and possibly going to Brentford. I mean, I've watched a few clips of him online. And, you know, he does look very talented, but then we've all watched plenty of clips of players.
Yeah, I look good on YouTube.
You know, exactly. Brian Hill, you know, he could be a beautiful player. I mean, certainly silky skilled. Mm. He can go past a player, but he hasn't got the physique for the Premier League. That's kind of how I feel about it. But then I look back to Gareth Bale when he was just first in the Spurs team under Redknapp, and he was so lightweight. He got knocked off the ball so easily. And then look, you know, 2-3 years later, he's one of the greatest players in the world. So I think it would be a shame to jettison somebody like Brown, but we've bought an awful lot of possible exciting wingers. Manor Solomon, as you mentioned before, all the ones previous. I mean, you even have Marcus Edwards, who could possibly have been the best of them all. So, I'm not sure we need any more wide players if they're going to use Timo Werner as this sort of pace on the wing. But we've got to learn to pass it to him early. There were about four or five occasions during the City game when Destiny had the ball, hung on to it a bit too long, didn't play him in. And surely, in training, if they get some time on the training field, they have to work on that, because there's no point having him in the team if you're not going to play to his strengths. And his strengths are play the ball over the defence and let him run
on. Him to run on and miss.
But I'd rather at least we have a chance rather than everyone shouting, pass it, pass it, pass it, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Højbjerg, I don't know. I mean, you can't fault the fella for trying. Yeah. He puts in a lot of work. He often saves us from difficult situations. He's a full-hearted player, and I kind of love him, really, for his commitment. But at the same time, he winds the hell out of me at other times with his, you know, lack of ability on the ball and his willingness to sometimes go backwards instead of forwards. But during the City game, for the first 60 minutes, he was excellent. He was one of the best players on the pitch. Mm. He was always passing it forward and looking to go past his man, which is unusual. And I think as soon as he took Bentancur off, he lost his way a little bit and he started to make mistakes when Skip came on. Because I think instead of him being the player that was knitting it all together when Skip came on, it was sort of the roles were reversed a little bit. And I don't think he quite felt comfortable in that role. So, strikers, mate, I don't know. I've been hoping we would buy a proper number nine since well before Harry left. So Ivan Toney would be amazing, but I don't see it. It's too much money for Levy. It's going to be too much money for him. I don't see him spending 60, 70, 80 million pounds on a player. Much as I think we need one and we deserve one.
It's going to be tough. I mean, you know, Carlos, you know, it's going to be a very interesting run now for the rest of the season.
I've been thinking about Callum Wilson. I know he's an injury-prone player, but he is one hell of a striker when he's fit, Wilson. And I think if he's surplus to requirements at Newcastle, we could do worse than have him as a backup.
Yeah, no, I agree, but he does have a question mark certainly over his injuries and stuff. But Carl, when you look at the run into the season now, we're in a good position. Obviously, the news that Klopp is leaving Liverpool will probably, you know, sort of get their players going, let's do it one more time for him type thing. But as I said, we're in a good position now. Now it's a question about winning games. And, you know, we've still got some massive games coming up, players coming back. We obviously miss Son. We obviously miss Bissouma. Matazzara is the one out of all three that I thought we missed the most against Manchester City. His energy in the midfield, getting into the box, we just didn't have. He didn't have that energy that he brings. One of him or Bissouma should be back soon, because if the AFCON games go to form, they will play each other in the quarters. So that means one of them will be back probably in about a week's time, I would have thought. So that's all good. Let's look at Brentford, Carl. I mean, obviously that was the first game of the season. This is sort of the reverse fixtures, technically, I suppose, from the first game of the season. It was a 2-2 draw. It was Postecoglou's first game. Most of us were quite happy with a point, not knowing what we were going to get from this new manager and everything. Looking back, maybe it wasn't the best of results. Brentford have struggled a bit this season, haven't they? Which has been quite surprising.
Yeah, I think they've massively missed Tony. I mean, the way they've adapted probably without Tony, and they've been on dreadful form, and then Tony came back and put in that real talismanic performance. So I think that they are kind of going to be buzzing. I think it's going to be a tough game. I mean, when you go back to that, that weird vibe around the first game of the season when we were all in slight mourning about Harry Kane, and then wasn't that the game that either was, I can't remember if the kickoff was delayed or because there was no running water. Do you know what I mean? Just like, when you just sat there thinking, these things can only happen to this football club. So I think they're a decent side to watch. They play nice football. And I think
last season at White Hart Lane. Last game. It was the last game of the season, wasn't it? From memory? Was it one of the last games of the season? I think it was.
Yeah, I remember it being the very, very bleak, very, very bleak times at that time. Yes. Very much the last knockings, wasn't it, of the previous era. And I think these are the kind of games where, you know, only 3 points are going to do. You mentioned, obviously, that running mic. I mean, you know, there's that four-game cluster of games in about April that looks like it could be make or break. And I always remember back to the season where we did break into the Champions League in 2010, where we did brilliantly in a similar run and got about 10 points from 12 or something.
That's when we had Chelsea then Arsenal back to back and beat both of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And I remember that very, very fondly. And I think obviously if we can maintain that cushion, because, you know, I haven't seen much about it recently, but I read only about a month ago, obviously top five could be enough for the Champions League this season based on all sorts of UEFA coefficients and things. And Opta had got it that it was an 83% chance based on how the English teams were going. So actually, you know, while we want top four to be certain, and we've been there before where we've just missed out, top five could be enough. So you start to look at that cushion that we've got to West Ham and Brighton and Newcastle and Man United. You know, there's probably Man United and Newcastle out of those that could put a decent run together. I think we've also got to be taking a good look at Villa and really sort of chasing them down. So it's definitely one of those must-win fixtures. There's no sort of easy games as a bit of a cliche. And I think that Tony is going to come out and really be wanting to make up for lost time. So I think we could be. I don't think it's going to be a walkover by any means, but I think we need a performance after Friday night to maybe a few more minutes out of Maddison as well. I don't know if he's going to be quite ready to start. I agree that he looked really, really leggy, but I mean, whether he's got the first hour in him or the last half hour, I don't know. But a tough game, but one I do think we're going to win.
I mean, obviously the other thing to sort of factor in, Simon, is that in a few weeks' time, European competition starts again. So all the teams around us, even including Aston Villa, will now be going to two games a week. This is going to be the least, now we're out of the cup, this is going to be the least games of football that Tottenham have played, I think, all the way back to 2005 or something. So, again, another reason why we probably won't strengthen, because there's not as so many games. So, and obviously only 11 people can start. So when you look at that, the fact that the other teams, you know, will want to do well in Europe, one game a week, players coming back, the only thing to concentrate on. That should give us an advantage, shouldn't it, Simon? The fact that we've now got pretty much our first choice defence, Romero and Van de Ven slotted back in immediately that last game against Manchester City and looked fantastic. What's your feeling? Do you think we're going to go on a good run now, or do you think we could...
Yeah, I think we're capable of it. capable of it, seeing the back four together. I mean, those four players are fantastic, every single one of them. And how, you know, it's been a long while since we've had, you know, probably since Rose Walker, Vertonghen, and Toby, since we've had a back four that you could actually say, well, you know, these guys can keep clean sheets every week. Of course they can. They have it in them. So I'm very, very happy with the defence. And, you know, as long as we can keep 11 players on the pitch, Romero can, you know, he's got it in him to get sent off in a second. He went in for a mad challenge on Friday, but luckily he got there in time. Yeah. But, I mean, we all love that about him, and he's a phenomenal player. So if he can just keep working at his temperament, stay on the pitch, that's the most important thing. Bissouma as well, sometimes gets a bit rash, Destiny a bit rash. Keep 11 players on the pitch. I feel like the suspensions are what really killed us at a time when all our injuries were terrible. Yeah. You know, if we hadn't lost Romero and Bissouma and Destiny in that sort of same period when all the players were getting injured, we might have a few more points on the board, is what I'm saying. So let's hope the other clubs are suffering by having to play so many games. I noticed at the start of the season, but Brighton really struggled with having a squad that was capable of playing, you know, weekend games and then Thursday games, because we all know how difficult it is. It's completely knackering, and that's the first time they've had to worry about it. So let's hope that the other clubs start to find some of the situations we found ourselves in this season with injury and suspension.
Yeah, I mean, look at the league table now. Most teams have played 21 games. We're currently on 40 points. Villa on 43, slightly better goal difference. And then Arsenal 43 with much better goal difference. Man City 43 with a game in hand. You think at the moment, then Liverpool 48. You think again the title's probably between Liverpool and Man City. And then those four, as you said, possibly five places. Below us, 5 points behind West Ham. Who again have done better this season than people imagined. Brighton 32, Man United 32, Chelsea 31 points, and then the biggest disappointment really is putting Newcastle only on 29 points. So everyone thought they'd really kick on with the money they've got. So we're kind of in a good position. We're certainly looking up rather than behind us. Brentford in 14th position on 22 points. You think they're kind of, well, I mean, they're only 6 points off third bottom, so they're still looking down slightly, Brentford. Do you think now that Tony comes back, they will kick on? Their goal difference is not too bad. It's better than most of the teams around them. Give us, Carl, give us a quick score prediction for Wednesday night.
I'm going to go 2-1, I think, to Tottenham.
2-1. Simon, give us a prediction.
I think 3-2. I think 3-2. Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to agree with Carl. I'm going to go 2-1. I think not having Sun doesn't help us, but I still think we should have too much for them. And then on Saturday, annoyingly, Saturday 12:30. I hate Saturday 12:30 games. It sort of kills any plans you've got in the morning, whatever, go out the window because you've got to get to the game. Everton. Now, obviously, Everton have had an awful season with a 10-points deduction. If they didn't have the 10-points deduction, they would be comfortably mid-table. Now they're currently 1 point off the relegation zone, and there's 4 points between them and Nottingham Forest above them. There's still talk about more sanctions. Whether that means more points deductions, I'm not too sure. But, Carl, they went on a very good run, but now recently pipped back and had a terrible home cup defeat to Luton Town. So you could argue this is a good time to play us. We've got a very, very good record at Goodison, generally. Seen us win there many, many times. You know what you're going to get with them. Big sort of physical team. Sean Dyche, with a bit of skill as well. But you'd hope to think we should have too much of them, no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, in the reverse fixture, and that was one of the ones I watched, I think, in the early hours of the morning out in New Zealand at the time, we looked fairly comfortable and then very nearly threw it away at the end. There was that there was that chance in the very final kick of the game where they almost made it 2-2. So we really nearly messed that up. I think it's one of those grounds, probably also the early 12:30 kickoff. Sometimes the atmosphere isn't always quite what it is in different times. Maybe True. That plays to our advantage a little bit because mm-hmm. it maybe makes it a slightly less raucous atmosphere. It's a fantastic old-fashioned stadium, isn't it, Goodison? So, again, I mean, you look at it man for man, we've definitely got better players. I wouldn't necessarily go as far as saying I hope this happens, but Sonny's playing in tomorrow lunchtime against Saudi Arabia. There's a very, very small chance a slightly jet-lagged Sonny could be back if they do go out tomorrow afternoon. Madison gets some minutes in his legs as well in midweek. Mm-hmm. So I think Van der Ven, it's astonishing just how good and how it just doesn't look like he's missed a game. And I think he is one of the main reasons that brings so much out of Romero, that Romero becomes a little bit less, calamitous is the wrong word, but reckless is probably closer. I think he is a calming influence on him. And obviously, you know, he does that job of just the pace around a player like Romero. They've got, for me, the makings of a really good partnership. And really, when you look at Porro and Adoghie and Vicario behind them, I think, for me, there begins to be similarities with that fantastic back four that we had with and keeper that Simon mentioned, maybe 10 years ago now. I think now we're starting to look like a team again and kind of getting all of our first team players back. It is completely wishful thinking to think we'll get a striker like Tony in January. I don't think it's realistic at all, but I do think, you know, you look at that, you look at all the teams that have got all of those kind of other distractions, and we've just now got the league to focus on. Yeah. If ever there was a season where you went, you know, let's go hell for leather, this might be it. It might be a little bit too much, but I like any fan during the transfer window, I live in hope that that surprise kind of Van der Vaart-esque signing at 10 to midnight arrives and we get that game changer for the final second half of the season. But
that'd be lovely. Ain't going to happen. But Simon, I think it's important. We talked about the midfield earlier in the show. I think it's so important. That's the one area I agree with the players out, we've looked slightly lightweight again, not much experience. If, as Carl says, Madison gets a bit more playing time against Brentford, he comes in now a bit more fit. You've got better fit Bentancur. Having a Madison Bentancur, the experience of Holby, it looks better. We haven't talked about Dragosin. We haven't barely seen yet. The new Romanian centre-back, he's comes... With good plaudits, he's another one who can come in. It's looking, with these players back in the addition, and Vern as well, it's looking a stronger, more experienced unit. And, you know, with that strength and experience, you should be beating Brentford at home and Everton away. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, in ordinary circumstances, for sure. I mean, a midfield that's fit of Bissouma, Saar, Madison, Bentancur, Højbjerg, Skip. I mean, that's six, you know, well, five of those. Skip is still a work in progress, I think, but he tries really hard, he's a lovely player, but those five are excellent. We get in most people's first 11. So if we had those five fit most games, I'd be absolutely thrilled with the midfield, but we haven't had that. Yeah. We haven't had that pretty much, you know, since the second month of the season. So when they are all back, from the AFCON Asian Cup, back fit, I think that will make our midfield super strong. I still think the area we need strengthening is up front, and I've felt like that for 4 or 5 years. You know, I love Richarlison, but I don't think he's a Spurs player. You know, that's a bit harsh, maybe, because he runs around.
Like, his scoring record at the moment is pretty good, and I think him getting the box
is, but he misses a lot more. He misses a lot more than he scores.
Yeah,
I think he's not quite the right fit for Postecoglou. If I'm thinking it right, but you know, the guy is a brilliant manager. I'm loving the style of football watching this season. After the dross we've had to put up with the last few years, it's an absolute joy going to the lane again. The atmosphere is always, you know, so much better than it has been. There's not that toxicity there. People singing songs that I've not heard before, new tunes, drums back. You know, it feels good to go.
The bagels again. Are back in the lower concourse.
Yes, bagels are back.
These are important things to Tottenham
fans. It's important to have bagels. Absolutely. In the
just to give listeners, just to remind you, just this weekend, the teams around us: Arsenal, Woolwich are away to Nottingham Forest. You can't see them slipping up there, although they have in the past slipped up there. Villa at home to Newcastle. So you're kind of hoping that Newcastle sort of come good a little bit and get something there. Everton, we play the weekend away to Fulham. Fulham hitting a bit of form again now, so maybe that could happen. And then the night that we play Brentford, well, Man City home to Burnley, that looks like a pretty much home win. Then Liverpool v Chelsea. So again, you expect Liverpool, hopefully, to thump Chelsea that night. And then just to remind you, the weekend with a lunchtime game, and then Villa away to Sheffield United. You expect them probably to pick up points there. Arsenal home to Liverpool. That's the big one, really, at the weekend. Again, we hope Liverpool can do us a favour if you think that we're not quite good enough to win the league just yet. Man United have got West Ham, another big game. So that's happening to the teams around us. And then Man City play Brentford on the Monday night game. Those are the teams around us this weekend. Some good games there, Carlo. Some nice big ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And always nice to be able to settle down and watch Arsenal play anyone who, you know, you think they've got a good chance of giving them a hide in. Obviously, they've had a real shaky few, well, month, I think, really. They've started, I think, maybe to come out of it a little bit, but it would be very nice to get beyond them. I wouldn't write Sheffield United off against Villa. I think they could more than easily do us a favour there. I think they look a really different outfit, I think, in the last month since Chris Wilder's come back. So yeah, this is the thing, really. I think if we can focus on maintaining, picking up points on a really consistent basis in these final months, you know, I think fourth and even third isn't out of reach. I think it would take a real collapse from Liverpool and Man City specifically to really let us in the title race. But yeah, I think Villa and the Woolwich Wanderers are there for the taking. So yeah. You know, would any of us have expected that at the start of the season? I don't think would have done. We want to get this cup monkey off our back, of course we do. But you know, we haven't had luck of the draw. We were very very unfortunate to go out to Fulham with that changed team. Fulham have gone all the way through to the semi-finals before being knocked out, so that clearly was always going to be our best opportunity. And you know, you would say that at the moment it's absolutely guaranteed we'll be back in Europe next season, depending on which competition it might be. So that's another that's another shot at something for us next season. So
Carl, give us a prediction then for Goodison Park at the weekend.
Again, ever really an eternal optimist. I think it's going to be even tighter than the Brentford game, but I'd say 1-0. I'd say 1-0 because my head's saying 1-1, but I'm going to say 1-0 and a relatively rare clean sheet.
Simon, what's your gut feeling?
Everton? I think a draw is likely. They do have a couple of beautiful players. I'm such a huge fan of Dwight McNeil. I think I love watching him play. His left foot is an absolute dream. I've got a feeling he might give us some problems. But yeah, 1-1 seems about right. I mean, I'd love to win. My son's an Evertonian.
Oh, really? So, How did that work? How did that happen? What happened to you? Everton?
I have two sons. The eldest is an Evertonian. The youngest comes with me to Spurs every week. When I was away on tour when he was born, and his mother, her dad used to play for Everton team for Lancashire. Okay. They're all from Bootle. Right. So they used to take him to the games while I was on tour. Mm. So when I came back from tour and he was wearing an Everton shirt, I was like, oh,
that must have hurt.
So when the second kid was born, I was like, okay, you're coming straight with me. And I put him in when he was like 4 weeks old, he came in one of those baby carriers to Spurs with me. And that was like, he's a Spurs fan from now on, and you cannot touch him. So that's we still go every week.
A life of abject misery.
Absolute abject misery for the poor boy, But what can you do?
You've got one of them. So that's not bad. I'm feeling very confident about Goodison Park. I'm going to say Tottenham win 3-0. I just think it's going to gel. I can see Maddison starting that game, lunchtime game. We're going to get a couple of early goals, quieten that Scouse crowd. And it's going to be easier than we suspect. That's my gut feeling. There we are.
Good for you.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. It's always lovely to have you both on. Carl, anything coming up that the listener should be aware of?
Well, I will be soon launching the third series of my podcast, When Football Began Again. It's kind of a knowing nod to the Premier League histories of lots of different teams and seasons, but we talk about much, much more than just the Premier League eras. Just before anyone bristles at the prospect of thinking football began in 1992. I've had some fantastic guests on there. Clive Tilds has been on, Henry Winter. So there's a real backlog. So if you like sort of football nostalgia, especially kind of 90s football is a big, big chunk of what we've done so far, then When Football Began Again is a podcast. You can get that wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Amazing, thanks for that. 90s is a blur, a blur to me, but not because of any illicit things going on, just that it was we were just dreadful pretty much, apart from a few sparkles season under Klinsmann. And it's like I've managed just to erase literally a whole decade, well, past the 91 Cup final anyway. And when have I to this day still talk of this show for 17 years we do this podcast? And I mentioned Goodison Park. Unfortunately, my mind goes back to that bloody game against them at Ellen Road in the 94.
Was it? Oh, that was one of the horrible, 95. Horrible.
I haven't got over the 95 ever cut semi
final.
No, that's my life. Day. I haven't got over it. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on, Simon. What have you got, Simon? Will you come on? You're sort of a pop picker in a way. I know listeners love to get your recommendations. What's your record of the month that people should not? Don't go on Spotify. Buy the bloody thing. Go and spend your $7.99 at Apple or wherever you get your MP3s.
There's a few I can recommend.
I'd always like your recommendations.
There's an Irish singer-songwriter called Conor White. His name is spelled C-O-N-C-H-U-R, so it's Conchur. It's pronounced Conor.
Right.
He's got a beautiful singer-songwritery kind of album that's just came out called Swirling Violets. That's an absolutely beautiful record if you're into that kind of thing. If you like something a bit more proggy, then there's a band from Brighton called Plantoid who have an album called Terrapath out next week. Thoroughly recommend both of those.
Mm-hmm.
As far as my story goes, I've got a book coming out in September, my memoir. September. So
how exciting. You I assume you've written it yourself. You haven't been sort of showbiz and got a ghostwriter with
you. No, I wrote every single word of it myself. Yes.
And what is your memory of the early days? Do you generally have a good memory, or did you have to phone up mates and go, do you remember that night?
I do remember most stuff. I mean, I like to sort of check the facts, and you know, if I was talking about a gig the Buzzcocks played in London, I want to make sure that I had the chronology in my mind correct. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I maybe called a couple of friends and said, you know, we did do that, didn't we? Just to double check. And, you know, looking at old photographs and all that kind of stuff, the general stuff that probably any writers would do to make sure that they're not talking horseshit in their book.
Did you keep a diary? Are you one of these people that always gets a diary or not?
No. I didn't keep a diary, but I, you know, because I've been doing this such a long time, and I have been writing things down, anecdotes, because I would often get asked to do like essays for Pitchfork or The Guardian, or I did a regular music column. So I'd often write down essays in sort of anecdotal form, but I'd never had an idea about doing a book until, you know, a couple of years ago when someone asked me if I would, and I said, no, I don't think so. Musician books are so boring. And then I just thought, you know what? My life is actually quite interesting. Mm. I need to start writing.
Well, I mean, your background with your father being in the music business.
Well, exactly. There's
working
a lot of
with, you know, Dusty Springfield and some extraordinary names.
And for me, the research looking back into his life was actually incredibly interesting and influential in the book,
Absolutely. Well, lovely. And so that's out in September. And who's the publisher?
9-8 publisher. They go through what is the name of the bigger I can't think of it off the top of my head. They did Mickey Bereny's book.
they're part
yeah,
of
they're part something big. Right. Bonnier, is it?
Bonnier Brooks.
Okay. So Nikki Berenyi from Lush, they did her book, and that was like the biggest selling music book of last year. So they're the up and coming new whippersnapper independent publisher on the scene, you know. So I was very, very happy that they liked my writing and wanted to publish it. So
lovely. And will you go out on the road? Will there be a sort of an audience with and you standing in a sort of cravat and a smoking jacket, reading excerpts of the book?
Sure, I will. Yeah, if there's a demand for it. I definitely would do that. You know, I know that a lot of record shops would probably host it, you know, but we'll see. We'll see how the reception is. I've got to do a presentation of it tomorrow night, actually, in Soho at some retail publishers meet.
Amazing. Well, we're certainly...
bits from the books are coming.
Amazing. Well, we'll certainly see. Get you back on when that's coming out to publicise it. Maybe come along, do one of our monthly Spurs events and talk about that as well. We'd certainly help as much as we can. Well, that's it for tonight. Thank you so much, gentlemen. So next Monday, we're back with, we can talk about Silly O'Clock. I mean, he's in Australia. David Harris will be up at some stupid hour to look back at the two games this week, Brentford and Everton. And we've got Simon Lipson returning and real Tottenham royalty. Richard Blanchflower, son of Danny, will return to the show. Wonderful. Another wonderful guest. So thank you so much, everyone at home, wherever you are listening to the show. Thanks for still being with us, supporting the Spurs show by listening. And we'll be back next Monday. Until then, come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.